In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is born.
Glorify Him.
We have come to another one of those very strange Sundays this time of year that happens when Nativity falls on a Sunday or on a Monday. So today we are actually celebrating three different things. We are celebrating the Sunday after Nativity. And we are celebrating what we call the apodosis, or the end of the Nativity feast itself, because all of the great feasts of the Lord have an eight-day period. This would be the eighth day. And we are also celebrating the Sunday before Theophany. And so liturgically, it's quite mixed. And in fact, you would think that maybe we would hear some continuation of the Nativity story today, which in fact we do, except that there are two Gospels and we only read one of them. And so the one that gets bumped is the one that continues the Christmas story, so to speak. And the reason it gets bumped is because it's not actually part of the Sunday after Nativity, because there isn't a specific Gospel assigned to that. It's assigned to the saints for this day, which is the righteous David, and Joseph, the betrothed of the Virgin Mary, and our own James, the brother of God. So since that gospel is assigned to saints, the normal Sunday gospel takes precedence, which happens to be the Sunday before Theophany. Now, did everyone get that? I know for a typicon geek like me, I get all excited about these kinds of things. But it's interesting because we sort of have to tie in now this midpoint between Christmas and Theophany. And so in the gospel today, of course, it was of Mark, and whereas we've been hearing for the last weeks about the beginning of our salvation being the incarnation, the babe lying in a manger, Mark is there telling us today that the beginning of the gospel is in fact John's preaching of repentance. And that's what you hear him say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And all the people were coming to him, because his was a baptism of repentance. Now, of course, our own baptisms are baptisms of repentance as well, but they're also sacraments which confer the grace of God to enable us to grow stronger in Christ. John's baptism did not have that. It was solely for repentance. But that was a start. It puts us on the path, so to speak, for the life in Christ. And so here we are connecting these two wonderful feasts. Actually, Theophany is the greater feast, which falls this Saturday. But here we have the connecting point between them, between the incarnation and between baptism. And so we have to think for ourselves, what do we do to get on this road? What do we do to stay on this path which leads us to salvation, which leads us to Christ Himself? And it's simply a question of a goodwill and following. There's a story that I think is a wonderful story. It's by Henry Van Dyke. I don't know if any of you know this author or not. Probably 80, 90 years ago, something like that. But he wrote a story called The Other Wise Man, which is really beautiful. And I'm going to sort of paraphrase it to you, because I think it puts us on this idea of the road to Christ and what we have to do. And the story goes a little bit like this, that there was a fourth wise man, and he had been preparing, like the other three, to follow these signs in the sky, not knowing what he was going to run into. And he had packed everything and had spent his entire fortune to gather up three very valuable jewels that he thought that he would take to whomever he would find at the end of his pilgrimage. And so he confers with the three wise men, and they're going to go ahead and set out because he's not ready to leave yet. And so they go, and he says, I will meet up with you. I will find you. I'll follow this star that we're all seeing. And so he leaves, and along the way, he finds a man who is Well, he's not really sure exactly what it was. He was beat up and was dying on the side of the road. And he comes up to him, and he's in a hurry. He wants to catch these other three wise men. He doesn't want to miss his chance. But his conscience gets to him, and so he stops along the road and helps this man and essentially saves his life. And the man is very, very grateful to him. He says, thank you so very much for all that you have done for me. And so he realizes at that point that he's delayed enough. He's going to have to go back and repack and get more provisions for his journey because it took him so long to do this. So in doing that, he's going to have to spend one of these jewels that he had. So he did that. And he repacks and he sets out. And he follows the star as the three did. And he gets to Bethlehem and realizes that it's all over with. The child whom he sought, that the three wise men were able to see and had left, the child was gone. And he runs into a woman who explains to him, well, it was rumored they were going to Egypt. No one knows why. But yes, they were down there. And we saw these three kings. And no one could understand why they were there. And so this man is very distraught by all this. He thinks, well, gee, I've spent all this time trying to get here, and now it's gone. Now it's gone. And about that time, there was a rumbling in the city, loud noise. Almost sounded like an earthquake. And he asked the woman, he said, do you know what that is? She said, no, she doesn't. And so she takes her child and goes inside, and he says, can I come in with you? And she says, yes. So in he goes, and the rumbling continues, and then it becomes obvious that it's horses. It's horses with soldiers on them. And these soldiers are slaughtering children coming through the streets of Bethlehem. And he's absolutely horrified at what he sees. And so there's a knock on the door where he is, and he opens the door, and there's a soldier there demanding entrance. And the man says, well, actually, if there is a soldier among you who is truly concerned about profit and has any intelligence at all, then you will go by this house. You will skip this house because I'm going to give you something. He pulls out of his pocket the second of the three jewels that he had purchased and gave it to the soldier, and the soldier leaves, thereby sparing the child of the woman whose home he was in. Of course, she is very gracious and very grateful and blesses him to no end. And then he leaves, not knowing where to go, but he continues his pilgrimage. And he continues it really for the rest of his life. He is walking and searching until 33 years go by. And he ends up in Jerusalem one day. And there's a big commotion, huge commotion. All kinds of to-do is going on. And he asks someone else, he said, what's going on? What's the problem here? They said, well, they are crucifying some man and two famous thieves beside him. Where is this place? It's on a hill called Golgotha. It's this direction. And so the man gets there, this fourth wise man, and he looks up and the cross is empty. And everyone gone. Yet again, he feels like, was this who I sought? And yet again, I've not found him. And I've spent my whole life doing this. And yet, there's no one here. No one. And so he's feeling rather dejected. And there's still a lot of disturbance in the city. There's been rumors of people coming up from the dead. There's been earthquakes all afternoon. And he sees this other woman. And she's being dragged by two soldiers. And he says, what's going on here? And they said, she owes debts. She owes debts. We're taking her off to prison. And so the man stops. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out the third jewel and says, here, she's released from all her debts. Now let her go. The woman was beaten and tattered. And again, she was just this woman was so thankful to this man for what he had done. And so he goes and he stands underneath one of the dwelling places with her, and he's talking to her. And another earthquake comes along. And at that point, some of the shingles, the clay shingles from the top of the roof, fall off, and they strike the man on top of the head. And he's dying. It was a fatal wound. He falls over, and he's lying on the ground. And the woman's there with him. And she thinks she hears something, but she's not sure exactly what it was. And the man, in sort of a daze, says, But when did I ever feed you or help you or clothe you or visit you or anything like this? When did I do that? I've just been searching for my king my whole life. And then the woman heard a voice again, and the voice said, anytime you did this for the least of my brethren, you did this for me. And the man, with a smile on his face, then gave up his soul right there when the woman was watching, knowing that after 33 years of searching high and low for the Savior that was born in that manger, that he had finally found him. Wow. Because you see, he knew that after all of those years, that he had done all that he could, that there was nothing more possible that he could do, that he had followed whatever signs that God had given him, that he had tried and continued, and although he had never reached his goal, he never veered from the road. It was all in the effort. It was all wanting to follow this Lord that he knew was there, that he wanted to see so bad. And yet, in being sacrificial along the way, he actually was finding him. And then at the very end, that Lord comes to him and welcomes him home. And you see, this is what we have to do. This is the way that we have to follow. That we put our own footsteps on this road, that we give it all that we can, that we do everything that we possibly can to follow Christ. And we may fall short. We may seek him and not see him. We may feel like somehow he's not there, or he's avoiding us. But yet we keep on following him. We keep on staying on that path, knowing that in the end, he is there, and that he's going to reveal himself to us. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the story of Nativity leading into the story of Theophany. Because when John cries, repent, we put our foot on the road, and then we don't look back, and we keep following and following and following, doing the best that we can, knowing that the Lord is with us every single step of the way. Amen.